Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, welcome again to the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Joel Brzezicki with Mike Kapler. Every week we get together and share the goodness of God, the good news of the gospel, His love, His grace. And all these years, 20 plus years, and what is this episode? Hey, this is episode 1010. 1010. I don't know. I've always wanted to say that. 1010. Don't know why. 1010 just sounds
cool. Me too.
I didn't say when we were on 1004, I could have said 10-4. Good buddy.
I just ordered. Listen to this. Are you ready? I just ordered a pair of walkie-talkies.
You did?
some cheap ones. My granddaughter wants them.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe.
That brought back memories right away.
Yeah.
So I was all over it. Absolutely, you can get walkie-talkies. We'll play.
When you went for a walk, one of your neighborhood walks, you could get your, stay in touch with your family. A toy for you.
Yeah. I don't know how far these things. I doubt if they go much. Well, I know you can get more expensive ones.
Yeah.
But what I read online was these might go like, half mile or a little more.
Yeah. I had a friend that
Depends how open it is.
Yeah. This friend had ones that would go to, I think they had a 2 mile range. And this was before cell phones were popular.
And they tell you something like 5 miles, Joel.
I
think you have to be on Mount Everest with nothing in between you and the next person.
No trees, no blades of grass in the way.
No. Yeah, I mean. if a fly buzzes by.
Yeah, sorry, lost connection.
Hurt the range.
Yeah, communication.
Of course, the flies around here, they do get kind of big, I'll say that.
But. They do. Well, I was just going to say, we've been doing this thing for so long, and it's still, I have been listening to other podcasts, and I recently joined on Facebook, a Christian podcasters group, and I thought, it'd be interesting, and basically, it's a group where people either share their podcasts or they share tips and tricks and things like that. And people are talking about how they're worried about their podcast getting out there and algorithms on the different Apple and YouTube and Spotify and all that stuff. And I still remain one who, it's fun to maybe play around with that stuff a little bit, but I just really don't care. I mean, it's okay. I shouldn't say that way. It's not that I don't care. I don't, because I'm the one who pretty much posts the podcast and all this stuff. And
yeah, Joel does all the work. I'm just living in grace here.
Cap just flaps his yap, and that's about it. That's all he is.
It's a true statement.
But, I think that there it might be beneficial if I would spend some more time looking into how to market the podcast. But we've just never done that. We post it on social media, after the Sunday that it gets uploaded, we post it to social media, and we pretty much leave it at that. And it's just interesting that there are people in all kinds of different places with, being able, because these days it is very nice that anybody could do a podcast. If you can talk and if you can record your voice onto a computer, you can do a podcast, and anybody can do that. But we've been doing it for so long, and we're still so very much old school in that all of these things. Yeah, we use the different platforms, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. I just think that we're glad that we have people listening, and that the main way that this gets spread around is through you, the listener, just sharing with other people. And we don't have a marketing budget or anything like that. We just record it, put it up, and there it is.
Funny thing, Jesus didn't have a publicist.
That's true. Not that I know of.
Speaking of Jesus, let's talk about him for a little bit. Oh. Enough about us. seriously, bouncing a little bit off of what we've been talking about, especially last week, Joel. If you didn't catch it, go look for it. Growingingrace.org, by the way. You'll find the archived podcast there, all of them, starting with the new ones on top. So this thing we call the Bible, let's focus on that here for just a minute. It goes beyond that, but this is where we'll start. Really, from the very beginning of it, pretty much cover to cover, the big story here, I mean, there's a lot in there, right? so much stuff in there, so much to think about, so much to debate, to figure out, to try to understand, to read, all of this stuff in there. But the big story, the underlying theme to me, as I've grown a little bit in my understanding of grace and the gospel, and I do say I've grown a little bit in the last 25 years, it feels like a lot to me how my understanding has evolved about the truth of Jesus. Feels like I've just gone from, you know, leaps and bounds, but it's really just a sliver in the big scheme
big
of things
picture.
Regarding eternity and mm-hmm. having the knowledge that we don't really understand about things. But the Bible as a whole and the story that's being told here is really about how people have this, I don't know if the right word is addiction or desire or what, but they have this drive to want to do something to make themselves acceptable to God. To, you know, do something to present themselves before God as somebody who is worthy of his love. And that's really kind of the story. I mean, it really started with Adam and Eve, and it kept on going after that with other people. And then the law came along, and that magnified it even more. The pages of the Old Testament, the prophets, the Psalms, all of that stuff, it all kind of revolved around that idea of doing in order to get to a certain plateau where you're okay with God. And it's also in the New Testament pages. This was really the thing that Paul was battling against, perhaps as much as anything. You can see it throughout his writings. The battles of people who are still working to try to reach a place of justification, in some cases maybe salvation, sanctification, all kinds of Asians out there that people are trying to do in order to achieve something that would put them in an acceptable place in front of God. And the real that was the battle. And Paul talked a lot about the law that came through Moses and was delivered to the Jewish people through that covenant. He talked a lot about that as a Jew himself. And then today, we still have people who are, you know, talking about, well, too much grace is not a good thing. It has to be balanced with some sort of works. And so this goes on and on. And so, Joel, I say all that to say, just based on some of the stuff we talked about, like in Acts 10 last week and some things that went along with it, everybody is learning and growing, but you know, in this infinite banquet that's ahead of us, this remember Jesus would sometimes talk about the inviting people to the banquet. Let's pretend it's an eternal banquet with myriads of people. It's like you take a look at the buffet, and it never ends. You're looking all the way down. Wow, that's a really big buffet. I can't even see where it ends. And you know what? Once in a while, we get a little nugget of revelation, and that's all it is. It's like one chicken nugget out of the whole buffet, and we think that we know everything. We think we've grown to this place of superiority somehow. Even us grace people can sometimes look back and see where we were, and we think we've come so far, and it turns out it's only about as far as the distance that a walkie-talkie will go.
Yeah, it's like looking at one of those pictures of an iceberg where you can see the tip of the iceberg over the water, and then you can see under the water, and there's so much more of the iceberg underneath the water that you can't even see. There's so much more to it. I mean, it's there's a lot more to it than what we think. We think we're seeing it all, but and that's good. That's it. Just goes to show, for one thing, how big God is, and all that, and how I think how in eternity, I think we'll also be growing. I mean, I think that you know when we leave this body and put on a new body, and all that stuff, I still think that there's going to be plenty of learning. And it'll just be good. I mean, we're not going to know everything instantaneously. Just like when we received Christ, just like when you know we've been talking about when Peter was sent out to preach the gospel, and he was saying things like, you know, people who work righteousness are accepted by God. He didn't know it all. Go back and listen to last week's podcast for what we had to say about that. But even people like Paul, and when he did get this revelation of the gospel from Jesus, probably took him some time, and he probably went to his deathbed still realizing and understanding that he didn't know it all. He did come to some really good revelations that he shared with us and with those that he preached to, and I think that's what's really wonderful is that after he did receive a revelation of the gospel, after many years of Jewish people, believers, And these, I believe, were saved people. But they had this idea, this understanding that a person, yes, faith in Christ, but you also have to keep the law. And Gentiles, this isn't going out to them. So they didn't quite have that understanding. And so Paul spent a lot of time, a lot of years fighting against this notion that it was, for one thing, for Jews only and not for Gentiles, and also that people had to keep the law. He fought against that. You look at the book of Romans, just as one example, many chapters, it's a longer epistle, many chapters as we know it today. Of course, he didn't write in chapters and verses, but it's a longer epistle, and he says a lot in there about the law. And a lot of it was directed, I think, toward a lot of his... I think the epistle would have been read by both Jews and Gentiles, but he was explaining to the Jewish people that, yeah, you have the law, but that doesn't mean that you're righteous, because according to the law, it's only those who are doers of the law, not those who are hearers of it. You guys are hearers of it, but it's only the doers who are justified. And in the end, there's nobody who's really a doer of the law. And so it can only come by faith in Jesus Christ, justification, righteousness, salvation. And I like what he says in Romans 10, you know, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, Romans 10:6. Then he says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So I got my 10:10 in there. I didn't even know that was going to happen. But it's through faith in Jesus Christ, not through the works of the law. Paul had to go everywhere he went among the Jews. Paul was fighting this understanding that they had, that you had to have some works. There has to be some works involved. You have to do the law. Yes, faith is wonderful. We're thankful for what Jesus did, his death and resurrection, but you also have to have some works. You got to have something to show for it. And Paul is saying, no, it's the man who does not work but believes. That's Romans 4. It's that person who God justifies the ungodly. That's the person who is justified, and it's by faith, not by works.
Yeah, I mean, the whole ministry of works, the law, was not based on faith. Paul said that to the Galatians, who were being enticed into trying to follow certain aspects of the law, people who never had the law, Gentile people. And Paul had to write to them and try and straighten them out after some people came, after he had left them, some people came along and tried to convince them that it's not just by grace through faith. See, this is a justification thing. It's a saving thing. Of course, how many times do we have to say this? Of course, we're not against works.
Right.
We're not against good works. Good works are a good thing. But we're on the topic of justification, salvation, righteousness, even sanctification. All of that stuff is gifted to us. Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. That's where salvation comes from. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nobody, the boasting days are over. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, mm-hmm. which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So to suggest that faith is not alive because you're not working, that's a law-based mindset right there. It's as plain as day. It's a law-based mindset to say that faith is not alive if you don't have works with it. That's not the gospel. That was a law-based mentality because for centuries, the Jews thought the law was something that could bring them life. They thought it was something that could bring them righteousness. They thought it was something that could bring them perfection because the law was perfect. They thought it could save their souls. They thought all of these things about the law. And yes, it did carry over even for many of these Jews who came to believe in a risen Jesus. They hadn't come to that place yet where they had received an understanding or a revelation of Jesus becoming the end of the law for all who believe. And they didn't understand that the law didn't reduce sin. It caused sin to increase. As Paul said to the Romans in chapter 7, all this time that I was under the law, I thought it was going to give me life, but I found out that it brought me death. Nobody has ever achieved a works-based approach and come before God as one who is righteous. It doesn't work that way. And so I know sometimes people think we got to throw works in there somehow, and they get tangled up together. Works are a good thing. They are beneficial. They are profitable. But they have nothing to do with where you stand with God, whether God is loving you or angry with you, whether he's accepting or rejecting you, whether you're saved or not. It has nothing to do with that. It's all based upon the blood of Jesus and the work that he completed and finished.
Yeah, and I'll just top it off with this. I was reading from Romans 10, and right before Paul mentions about it being by faith, he says in Romans 10:5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. I mean, the law is all about doing, 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 and you're living by the law. That's where you were talking about, you know, Paul thought that the law would bring life because God said, choose life that you and your descendants shall live. And by that, he meant do the things of the law. That was under the law. But Paul says, but the righteousness of faith speaks this way. And he talks about the verses that I just mentioned, and even right after verse 10:10, which says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, there's no works there. It's faith. It's believing. And then verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. It's not whoever does works will be accepted by him. It's whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. No works involved, it's believing. And verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For, and then he quotes another Old Testament verse, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No works involved. Again, like you said, works are great, but when it comes to salvation, justification, being made righteous, all that, no works whatsoever. It's all simply by faith.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.